Praise the Lord, Baruch Hashem. Here we are, Watchman School of Prayer, class number 22. And the name of this class is Praise and Worship Prayer Used in Spiritual Warfare. Hallelujah, we finally got there, okay? So praise and worship prayer used in spiritual warfare. Now, I'm going to start off by giving you seven ways in Hebrew words that we praise God. And I will probably each time write them on the blackboard. All right? So the first one we're going to talk about is called Yada. Now, one thing you have to understand, when you read the Psalms, all right, which we understood the name of them is praises, all right, it is important to note that there are several words translated into English as praise. But their various root words have very different meanings. Now, I'm going to just go through some things. I can't give you every single scripture in this. I'm going to give you an example of each one. This first Hebrew word, yada, is a verb with a root meaning, and it means the extended hand, to throw out the hand, to worship with extended hand. That's what it means. And here's an example, Psalm 63, verse 4, and you can just write the examples down. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will yada, I will lift up my hands in your name. Okay? And that is a form of praise. I will lift up my hands in your name. The Hebrew there is yada. Okay? Psalm 63, verse 4. There's many other scriptures. I'm just giving you one. And if any of you want more of the scriptures, I can give them to you after the class. The second one that we're going to look at in Hebrew, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing all of these correctly. I hope I am. Of course, this is not the actual Hebrew writing. This is the transliteration. Todah. Todah. And Todah comes from the same principal root word as yada, but it is used much more specifically. Now here it means an extension of the hand in adoration, a vow, or acceptance. An extension of the hand in adoration, a vow, or acceptance. It is basically used for thanking God. All right? Thanking God, now listen, for things not yet received, just as much as things already received. It's used to thank God for things we already have and things we're going to get. Amen? And here's the scripture, Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God praise and pay your vows unto the Most High. Offer unto God, the word praise here is todah. And it has to do with an extension of the hand in adoration, thanking Him. And then saying, do what you got to do anyway, pay your vows. Amen? The third one, and I love this one, and you probably know this, have heard this one, is halal. Everyone say halal. Halal. Okay, and everybody know we get out of this word? Hallelujah. All right? Halal. And the definition of halal, and this is another primary Hebrew root word, it means to be clear, to shine, to show, to boast, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. That's the best one. To be clamorously foolish. I know a few people in here who are clamorously foolish for the Lord when we have worship time. Hallelujah! Yo! Hallelujah! We got all this going on, you know? That's what it means. Here's one scripture, Psalm 113, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So basically, you could say, halal ye the Lord. Halal, O you servants of the Lord. halal in the name of the Lord. Now, if you said, be clamorously foolish, all three times. So if you ever look at somebody who's running around, jumping around, and you think that they're an idiot, they are doing what they need to be doing. And if you are watching or listening, and you are in a sanctuary that does not do that, get out, all right? Because they're really not doing what the Lord is telling them to do. And let me tell you, in heaven, it is clamorously foolish. So it's good for us to get used to being like that here. Then we fit right in when we get there, amen? And we don't have to go to school to practice. Clamorously foolish. There's lots of scriptures. I'm just giving you one example. Okay, the fourth Hebrew word that I'm giving you in praise is Shabbat. I'll put that over here. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. Shabbat. And it means to address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph, to glory, and to shout. To address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph, to glory, and to shout. Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. One generation shall shabach, shall declare in a loud voice, shall shout, okay? Shall triumph, shall glory. That's what it's saying. Now, the fifth one, I'd love to give you all these scriptures I have on this, but we have so many other things to cover, I just can't. The fifth one is the word Barak. B-A-R-A-K. Okay? And maybe I'll stay here. Barak means to kneel down, to bless God as an act of adoration. And when it's used in scripture, it's implying expecting to receive a blessing from the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that we're in a begging attitude, okay? We are expecting to receive a blessing from the Lord. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. Let us barak before the Lord our Maker. Okay, Psalm 95, verse 6. And actually, the scripture says in another version, come, let us throw ourselves at his feet in homage. Remember when we talked about worship in the last class, about it's like kissing a dog kissing his master's feet? So Barak is blessing the Lord. It's a type of praise and adoration. The sixth one is Zamar. Z-A-M-A-R. Zamar means to touch the strings, and it's used with instrumental worship. Now we come to the instruments. That's zamar. That's the word that is used for instruments. Some of you in here play instruments, and when you praise God, you are zamaring God, okay? And Psalm 150, which we're going to read in a little while, talks all about praise with instruments, all right? David said, awake my glory, awake harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, I will sing praises with instruments to you among the nations. Here's another psalm, Psalm 21:13, in Zamar. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in your own strength, so will we sing and praise, so will we Zamar your power. That means we will do it with instruments. It has to do with touching instruments. And number seven is Tehillah. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. Tehillah. Tehillah praise. All right? And now Tehillah simply means to sing. That's what it means. To loud, to sing. God is enthroned or inhabits the praises of Israel. We read that scripture in last class, Psalm 22:3. God inhabits the tehillah of his people, all right? This is the kind of praise that God dwells in. It has to do with singing. Psalm 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for tehillah, for praise is comely for the upright. In scripture we studied in last class, Psalm 34:1, his praise shall continually be in my mouth, his tehillah. So God wants us to sing to him. Okay? And it was also the same reference in 2 Chronicles 20:22 when we saw them be victorious over the enemy. Now, let's move into this next section. Well, let's look real quickly at Psalm 149 and 150. Psalm 149, 150. Now, if someone ever says to you, church or synagogue is supposed to be quiet, well, there's a time for that, yes. But I would then ask them, what are these psalms about? Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Aha, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. There's instruments. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. How many of you sing to God on your bed? Tehillah to God. Amen? On your bed. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. If we are in the Lord, know the Lord, we are one of his saints, and we have the honor of doing this type of praising to get rid of the enemy. That's what it's talking about. It's spiritual. It's not just natural here. Remember, there's two kingdoms. We studied all that when we studied on the enemy. Amen? Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Basically, this is halal here. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. This word praise, and we just read this in the first verse, is the halal, which means clamorously foolish. So when we come into sanctuary, it says in the sanctuary. If your sanctuary is not clamorously foolish, and I don't mean like a joke place, okay? I mean seriously in the spirit, enjoying the Lord and praising the Lord, something wrong. Because God is saying that's how it's supposed to be. Verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Now, that doesn't tell me it's quiet. Loud cymbals, okay? Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Look at Psalm 100. And in Psalm 100, this is a... And in the other one, we saw many different kinds of praises. But in Psalm 100, if we look at verse 4, in one verse, there are four of these ways that I gave you, these Hebrew ways of praising the Lord in one verse. Let's look at it. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Okay? The word praise here is tehillah. Tehillah. Be thankful unto him. Thankful here has to do with the yada. We had that in the beginning. Raising the hands. And bless his name. To barach. And actually there's entering into his courts with praise. There's the word praise here, I believe also in thanksgiving, has to do with todah. I know that there's four things in this psalm. Todah, halal, Yada, and Barach. In other words, we can praise God in all different ways. You know, even in one verse, God is showing us that that can happen when we enter into His gates, into His courts. Amen? Now, everything we do has to be led by the Spirit of God. We have a body and we have to use it. But we don't just do things out of the flesh. It has to come by the Spirit. But when we first start praising God with music, okay, or this way, you have to do it in your flesh. You're in the flesh. You got a body. So when you start, you know, you'll be starting to dance for the Lord, and it may move into something spiritual down the road. It may move into a spiritual dance, which we're going to look at in a few minutes. Praise uses the mouth, the hands, feet, clapping, shouting, dancing, instruments, walking, marching, laughter, jumping, all kinds of things, singing. Now, we're going to look at some spiritual warfare tools. And the first one we're going to look at here, spiritual warfare praise. Spiritual warfare praise tools. And the first one we're going to look at is shouting. Shouting. Everybody say shouting.
Shouting.
Okay. Which means raising a warfare cry. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures, there's many of them. Go to Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah 50. Okay, and in verse 15, shout against her roundabout. This actually is talking about Babylon. Verse 14 talks about Babylon, the world system. Shout against her roundabout. She has given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her as she has done, do unto her. Now, this is just an example of, this is a word that's in the Hebrew, R-U-W-A, if you want to know that. It's not something you have to know. Ruah, if you'd like to know that. Ruah. And we learn this word in the last sessions when we talked about spiritual warfare. And it was called splitting the ear with sounds, if you remember. To split the ear with sounds. If you remember, we studied Isaiah 42, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall cry, yea, he shall roar. And we studied the sounds there and other areas. And it meant he was, it's a splitting the ear with sounds. It also is sounding the trumpet, the shofar. It also means to cry out with a loud voice. Noisily shout in a warlike manner. Noisily shout in a warlike manner. To raise a cry, exulting out loud over our conquered enemy. Amen. Raising a cry out loud, okay? Out loud. Everybody say out loud.
Out loud.
When we cannot cry out loud, then I'll tell you, I told you this in the last sessions, devils hate loudness. You can't get loud against the enemy, then there's something going on there and he's got you bound. Spiritual warfare is commanding. It's not begging or standing still. It's commanding. And we're using it now in a praise tool, all right? Let's look at Joshua 6:16. We won't have time to go into every scripture. Joshua 6, this has to do with shouting. And we've looked at this particular story, and this has to do with the Battle of Jericho. And in verse 16 it says, and it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the shofars, Joshua said unto the people, what did he say?
Shout.
Say it loud.
Shout.
Okay, for the Lord has given you the city. And that's the same word, ruah, raising a warfare cry. And you can write down 2 Chronicles 13, 14 to 16 in your notes. You can study that. That's another incident here on shouting. Also, Psalm 89, 15. Let's look at that real brief. It's similar here. It's a word called teruah. It has to do with shouting. It's part of this word, Psalm 89, and we had looked at this psalm in also the last sessions. Psalm 89, 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. And right here it's talking about teruah, the sound of shofar, of alarm, of battle cry. Why are we blessed? Because we are now aware of what's going on. Amen? We're setting up ambushes. If we're not aware, then we're not blessed. Blessed means empowered to prosper. How can you be empowered to prosper if you don't even know the onslaught of the enemy? We are to know the enemy's tactics. We are to learn about him and not be afraid of him. God has given us the victory. And, you know, when you finish this school and you be finished real soon with it, you have all these tools and you pull out all these weapons to use against the enemy. Psalm, and I'm just going to give you these. I'm not going to go there. Psalm 25, you can look that up. We will rejoice. Now that is, the word rejoice there is a type of shout called ranan, R-A-N-A-N. That's interesting. That's one of the names of my cousin's last name. Ranan, and that word means to make sharp, a shrill squeak. It has to be sounds of joy. It says, we will rejoice in your salvation, Psalm 25. Isaiah 42:11. Is another type of shout. I don't even know if I can pronounce this, but it says, let them shout from the top of the mountains. And it's a Hebrew word, savach, I believe it's called. And this has to do with a loud shouting with great delight. Proverbs 11:10, under the same thing, shouting. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Hallelujah. Okay? When the enemy is defeated, there is shouting. And that's a word called rina. It means a shrill shout for joy. There are different kinds of sounds of shouting in terms of for joy or against the enemy. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is, in praise and worship and warfare prayer, is clapping. Many of you probably... you clap before the Lord. And people say, let's have a clap offering. Well, what is that doing? Did you ever find out? I mean, if we're just doing stuff to do it, what's the point of doing it? We need to know what we're doing. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And clapping is a Hebrew word called taka, T-A-Q-A. And let's look at Psalm 47:1 as an example. Now, it may not be every single clapping is exactly what I'm giving you here. Because remember, I'm keying in unto coming against the enemy. You have to remember that. It's praise and worship and warfare prayer. So, Psalm 47:1 says, O clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Now, this word clap here means... a sharp movement sounding like a spear to strike, to drive like a nail or dart, to thrust like a spear or sword. Wasn't that pretty good? Thrust like a spear or sword. You know, we start doing that. We're thrusting like a spear and a sword against the enemy. We're striking to drive like a nail. It also means to give a signal. But these are the main things. It's a sharp movement. Number three, stamping. How many of you stamp? Let's hear you stamp with your feet. Okay? So when God begins to speak, to stamp with his feet, there's a reason for it. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 6. And the Hebrew here is raka, R-A-Q-A. I hope I'm pronouncing these right. And those of you, if I'm not, forgive me, okay? If it's not spelled exactly right, I believe it is. R-A-Q-A. And if we go to Ezekiel chapter 6, and in verse 11, thus says the Lord God, smite with your hand and stamp with your foot, and say, alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, for by the famine, and by the pestilence. Now we see here, this word means bound, to expand by hammering, to stamp round with indignation, that's with anger, to beat, and it's used to describe crushing the enemies. To beat, describing to crush the enemies. Now, one of my favorite scriptures on this particular stamping is 2 Samuel chapter 22. Because this goes even deeper in a meaning here on this. 2 Samuel. Chapter 22. Now I'm going to, the key verse will be 43, but I want to start in verse 35. I want to show you here some things that I think is important for you to see in terms of spiritual warfare and praise and worship and using your bodies. Verse 35. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. God teaches your hands to war. It's part of warfare, all right? You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise, yea, they have fallen under my feet. For you have girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me have you subdued under me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord. But he answered them. Verse 43. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp, there's the word stamp, I stamped them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. This word stamp, not only did it mean what I gave you, but it goes even deeper. It means to pulverize. Pulverize, you know, is when you make something into dust, it's of nothing. It means to wear down, to wear out, and to beat into pieces. I am going to wear the devil down and beat him into pieces. Now that's how you have to get. You have to get feisty like that, and you have to do what the Bible says to do when you need to do that. All right? We're going to pulverize the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Number four. Singing. Look at Isaiah 30. There's many scriptures on this, but just look at one here. Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 29 and 30. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and a gladness of heart, as one goes with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempest and hailstones. And many times when we sing, like many times we do sing songs of warfare songs, the enemy is scattered, he gets defeated. And so singing, and the word here has to do with, it's a lyric type song, S-H-E-E-R, sheer, it's a Hebrew. Now there are other words for singing that are not warfare. I'm just giving you the ones that have to do with warfare songs, okay? Remember, we're gearing in on praise and worship in spiritual warfare. All right? Has something to do with that. Number five, marching and walking. I know in this congregation, we do a lot of marching and walking sometimes around. The Holy Ghost says, okay, let's march. And we just do it. And when we do that, what are we doing? Well, let's look at Joshua 1. You can do this anywhere that the Holy Ghost begins to give it to you. Joshua 1 and verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And God is speaking this to Joshua. The soles of our feet, the sole there is Yad, Y-A-D, marching and walking. The sole of our feet, God has given us, it means hand, power, and strength, authority. That's what it means. So when we start marching, God has given us power and strength, and authority is being put into our hand. That's what the marching and the walking is doing. We're taking power and authority as we march around. Remember the Jericho march, and they marched around 7 times? They did the same thing. Everywhere as the sole of your foot goes, God has given you, and you have to know that. When you walk someplace, know who you are. You are a child of God. When you go into your workplace, if there's full of antichrist or people that hate God, God has given you, God has set you there. You know who you are. You reach out in love, but don't bow down. Know who you are in the Lord. Stand strong in that. Amen? That's part of spiritual warfare. And it's part of praise and worship. Now here's another great one, number 6. Laughter and joy. I don't even know how to pronounce this in the Hebrew. It's S-A-C-H-A-Q. I won't try it. It means to laugh. Now, laughter can be as a personal protection, which is good. It's for emotional being, well-being, and health. And number 2, it can be direct warfare against Satan's power. Laughter is a safeguard against heaviness. It breaks the power of the enemy that tries to depress or oppress us. And it's actually direct warfare, and it mocks the enemy. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. And in verse 4. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. This is this type of laughing. It's a direct warfare, okay? And we've done that here with song. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and in verse 12 and 13. The wicked plot against the just and gnash upon him with their teeth. With his teeth, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Many times, we have to laugh at the enemy. We start laugh. If we could learn to laugh, and I speak to myself, we'd overcome a lot of things. And the Bible says laughter is a medicine, you know? So that's important for us to know. Now, here, let's look at Zephaniah. This is a really interesting scripture. This has to do with joy. This first section I gave you was laughter, and now we're going to go into joy. Zephaniah, small, powerful prophet book, prophetic book. Zephaniah, it's right after Habakkuk and before Haggai. It's a small book. Zephaniah chapter 3, and in verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. There's that word joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Now, the word joy in Hebrew here is yasha, Y-A-S-H-A. Y-A-S-H-A. Now, listen to what this means. It means delivering warrior. Delivering warrior. It's a physical deliverance. And what are we talking about here? Well, basically, this is talking about the final victory over Israel's triumph. This is the joy that Yeshua and God has over Israel's triumph at the end. It doesn't matter what demons try to come against them or how many negative things, they will triumph. And the Lord here is rejoicing with joy with Yasha, because why? Because he's the delivering warrior. That's why we're to have joy. Now, you may not know this, but you may have known about in studying the New Testament, we've heard of Hosanna, you know, when Yeshua came walking in the Mount of Olives and they put the palms down, all this, and they, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, everybody sang. Well, basically, they were actually, this cry meant the same thing. It meant delivering warrior. That's what it meant when they were saying that, okay? And this was the original meaning. It's been watered down today. Theologically redeveloped, so to speak, okay? Number 7. Rejoice. Number 7 is rejoice, and this involves movement, a type of movement and dance. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Now this will get you. Well, I've never seen Yeshua dance. I never saw Jesus dance. Oh, really? Well, let's take a look. You see the word rejoice, and you think somebody's going, ha, 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 ha. Oh, no. It's much more than that. You have to dig deep in the scriptures. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. And see, when we begin to study and look deep, it means much more than what we see. A lot of it is watered down with the translations. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 21. In that hour, and let me say, let's stop a minute. Go up before it. Let's look here a second. Verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying to the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The disciples went out and they cast out devils, okay? And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's telling them that. We take this for today. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Now, that word rejoiced is a Greek word, agilalio. I don't even think I can pronounce it. A-G-A-I-L-L-I-A-O. You don't really need to know the Greek here. But it means, this you need to know, to leap, to exalt, leap for joy, skipping, jump, spring up. So obviously Yeshua was jumping all around, okay? Amen? Why? Well, you just saw why. Because the names were written in heaven, and because also they were able to come against the devil. Amen? They had authority. Number 8, the dance. Dancing. I'm going to give you a number of examples on this. This is one of my favorite subjects, of course, because being an ex-dancer myself professionally, I could stay on this for the next 10 hours, but we're not going to do that. So it was very difficult for me today to condense this, okay? And I got to watch the clock because I have some other stuff I have to give you. But this is an exciting area to talk about. Let's just go... Oh, wonderful, Pastor Susan. I didn't even put the verse down here. I don't know if I can find it. Let's try. Exodus chapter 20. And we really all know, we pretty much know this. This has to do with Miriam. And I need to find the verse here. Let's see. I may have the wrong scripture. I have the wrong chapter. I don't have it. But Let me just tell you this. You can find it on your own. It'll be a study thing. It has to do with Miriam, and it has to do with Miriam going out and dancing with the timbrels. Do you remember when they came? They came from Egypt, and God was. They crossed, and then they went out and they began to dance. And Miriam had a dance. Okay. And I wish I had the scripture, but I don't know exactly where it is, but you can find the scripture. Does anybody have it? Chapter 6, 15. Chapter 15, praise God. Chapter 15, oh, here it is, yeah, thank you. Chapter 15 and verse 20, okay? Great. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. Here we go. Have a timbrel. All right, that's a timbrel. Took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with after her with timbrels and with dances, okay? And this has to do with a company of dance, all right? And it has to do with a round dance, all right? Quickly, Psalm 30:11 is the same thing, having to do with a round dance and a company of dance. I'll put this down. Now, I'm not giving you the Hebrew root yet, because all of these three scriptures I'm giving you right now come from one root meaning. I'm going to give you that all at once. Psalm 30, verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. This again has to do with this type of dance. Psalm 149, verse 3, which we read earlier, what we saw here. This is the same kind of, it's a company dance. It's a dance where there's more than one person. Now, does that mean this is choreographed? I don't know. I'm very funny about that, although I used to do that, and I'm not going to get into that because that's teaching on the dance in general. I don't believe so. I believe this was just a free dance, a dance where they just jumped around and exalted the Lord, and maybe they had some movements that they all knew together, yes, in a company. They might have done that. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be completely choreographed. And here it says in Psalm 149, verse 3, let them praise his name in the dance. And that again is this round company dance. And I believe anyone that wants to praise the Lord in the dance and take that and just run around and dance around. You don't have to be a professional dancer to do that. Now, all three of these scriptures come from the root word chel, K-H-E-L. Now listen to what this means. K-H-E-E-L. To twist or whirl in a circular or spiral manner. To twist or whirl in a circular or spiral manner. To bring forth, to writhe in pain or fear, and to drive away. To drive away. So you can be doing dances for the Lord where you're driving away the enemy, all right? Now, let's look at something that David did. 1 Chronicles 15. Let's take a look at the description of his dancing to the best that we can have from the scriptures. 1 Chronicles 15. I'm going to go a little bit faster because of the things I need to get in here. 1 Chronicles 15. And in verse 29, it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out of the window, saw King David dancing, there it is, and playing. And then, of course, it says she despised him. Now, the word dancing here is ragad, R-A-G-A-D. It means to stamp, to spring about wildly, to spring about wildly and for joy. And here's another one, 2 Samuel, about David. 2 Samuel 6. And in verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And this here, this word dance is karan, K-A-R-A-N. It means to whirl. So David was whirling around. So you could see the kind of dancing. It was not some pretty form. He was stamping. He was springing wildly. He was whirling around, twisting, whirling. All this, it's all part of the dance. Amen? Now, I want to also show you that in war dances, musical instruments are used and your hands are used, all right? Let's look here at Psalm 144. There is such a thing as war dances. Yep. And God teaches us how to do it by His Spirit. Psalm 144. Verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. And many times when I do the war dances, you'll see me doing things with my hands. And that's by the Spirit of God coming against the enemy. Let's look at Isaiah 30, and I'm going to read you this out of the Amplified. Isaiah 30, and in verse 32. Now, this has to do with coming against the enemy. If you read some scriptures before this, I'm not going to have time to do that. It talks about the enemy is attacking, and now the Lord is getting angry, okay? And it says in verse 32, and every passing stroke of the staff of punishment and doom which the Lord lays upon them shall be to the sound of Israel's timbrels. I just showed you a timbrel and lyre. When in battle, he attacks with swinging and menacing arms. Swinging and menacing arms. That's all part of warfare dance. Warfare dance by the Spirit is not something beautiful, okay? It has no form. But when it is done by the Spirit of God in a vessel of God that's yielded to the Lord, now what do I mean a vessel? I mean a vessel of honor, someone who has yielded themselves. I mean, for me, I can just tell you as an ex-dancer for many years, I mean, the Lord had me in the very beginning do choreographed dance, and then I had to lay that all down. And I probably could not do what I do today had I not laid down the structure of what I knew. Sometimes when we have structure, we cannot be free in the spirit. So most people that don't have structure don't know anything about dance. I have seen be the most incredible, powerful dance in the spirit coming against the devil, and they don't even know they're doing it. And so we have to understand there's a spiritual side to things, not just a natural. When we do dances in the natural and we do it choreographed, which is fine, to me, it's nothing more than entertainment. I don't think it's doing a lot of damage in the realm of the spirit, all right? Now, quickly, I want to talk about banners and flags in the next few minutes in warfare praise. Banners and flags is used in many, many things. I mean, I'm not going to, this would be a whole session or two sessions in itself. And in, this is number 9, banners and flags. The definition in Hebrew has many definitions. I'll just give you a few. It means to gleam, to be conspicuous as a signal, like a signal, to flaunt, to be a mark, evidence, to come, a standard, and so it's raising something, okay? Now, there's many scriptures on this and that support the use of flags and banners, many, many. One of the areas, we're not going to go there, I'm just going to give you some things. You can read yourself in Exodus 17, verses 1 to 14 is the story of the attack of Amalek on the Israel, on the Israelites, the Hebrew children. And what Amalek did here was attack them, and then at the very end it says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner. All right? And so we see here, the Lord is the banner, all right? Again, also Psalm 60, verse 4, you have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. God wants to release his beloved, and we use banners in warfare to proclaim truth, okay? Write down Song of Solomon 6, 4. And here it also talks about an army with banners. An army with banners it talks about here. I'm going to kind of skip along here. Psalm 74, 4. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. So, just as the enemies of God set up banners, we set up banners to defeat the enemy. Isaiah 5, 26. It talks about lifting up a banner to the nations from afar. That's like a signal, okay? Write down this one, Isaiah 31, 8 and 9. It talks about that the powers of darkness will be afraid of the banner of the Lord. So the enemies can be in fear because of banners. And one of my favorites is Isaiah 49, 22, which I won't read, but it talks about, well, maybe I will. It says, behold, I will lift up my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard or my banner for the peoples. They shall bring in their arms, they shall bring your sons in their arms and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. It's talking about the Gentile nations helping the Jewish people go back to Israel. Amen? So it has to do with a banner. And also, we know that the colors of the banners, and let me take a couple here. Now red, and this is a flag or a banner, all right? And they can be big, they can be small. And you can use these when we do warfare, spiritual warfare, praise and worship. Of course, red signal has to do with the blood. We know the blood of Jesus, and that attacks the enemy, all right? Then the next thing we have is purple. I mean, there's many, many colors. I'm only going to give you a few tonight, all right, because we don't have, because of sake of time, we don't have it. This means royalty, honor, the kingdom, and wealth. That's purple. And the gold one, and I want to get them all, so I have a lot more to get, means kingship, liberty, sanctification and being set apart. And the blue one I'm going to find the blue one means grace, mercy, and the river of life. I've just given you only four, all right? And the banners have many uses, as I described to you, and many ways to use them. Now, how do we know when to use them? Well, really, that has to do with the fact that we have to be led by the Spirit, and in a service, this is my personal feeling, there has to be an order. And in order to be in order, this requires a leader to lead and orchestrate that. And that's actually what they had in Davidic worship. And God says Davidic worship is going to be restored. You read about that in Chronicles, where David had all this Davidic worship in place. And he had a leader called Chenaniah. And he was the leader that orchestrated all of this. And actually, he was a prophet and a dancer. And so it's something that we would have to study more in depth, and you can do that on your own. I believe God is going to restore that. But these have many, many uses. And what happens today? Well, who is our banner today? Yeshua is our banner today. Because the scripture is very clear, and it tells us, and I'm going to close with this scripture, in John 12, 32, Jesus answers and says, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world be casted out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Yeshua is our banner. When we lift him up, I mean, he's already been resurrected. Amen?
Amen.
And when we lift him up in everything, it will draw all men unto him. Amen? I pray that God touched you tonight and God taught you something in this. And be blessed till we see you in the next class. Amen.